Good morning. I was talking to a couple of men as our gospel meeting went on throughout the week last week. And I said to them, it's going to be really tough to get up here on Sunday morning and have to preach after the wonderful lessons we've had all week. And Bubba challenged us, didn't he? Just like any gospel meeting that we have. Bubba challenged us to have the kind of faith like Rahab and Caleb who followed the Lord fully, like Thomas. And I kind of wish it was just starting all over again. But you know, I got to thinking about that a little bit. What makes gospel preaching so great? Certainly we enjoy maybe listening to others more than others. But what makes gospel preaching so wonderful? Isn't it that we get to proclaim the message of the gospel? Isn't what makes gospel preaching so great the fact that we get to proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called us out of the darkness into His marvelous light? That we get to proclaim the message of the gospel. And I look forward to doing that with you this morning as we study from the Word of God. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad to have you. You are our honored guest, and we're glad that you've taken an interest in spiritual things. And you've come to join in with us as we worship our Creator and study His Word. As we talked last week about building character from Bible character, it got me thinking. Who is someone in the Bible that we can relate to? Because after all, when we look at Bible characters, they're not fictional people. But these are real people who have gone through real life situations just like we go through on a daily basis. And so who is it in the Bible that we can relate to as we go about our lives? And of all people, I thought about King Solomon. Now let me clarify, there are a lot of ways that we can't identify with King Solomon. Number one, none of us have 300 wives or husbands or 700 concubines. If you do, we got to talk after this. Number two, we're never going to be king over Israel. And number three, we're never going to have the wisdom that Solomon had. But there is one way that we all relate to King Solomon. And that is that we are all on a journey. Solomon, throughout the book of Ecclesiastes, made a quest for fulfillment in life. He traveled down a path to find what was missing in his life. He searched through every avenue, everything under the sun, to try to find some kind of meaning to life, to figure out what really matters in life. What is life all about? He tried to fill the void in his life with so many different things. And the reality is that we are all on this same journey. We're all trying to fill the void in our life with so many things. We're trying to find fulfillment. We, like Solomon, are on a quest for the meaning of life. And so this morning, I want to take you on a journey. I want to take you on a quest with Solomon throughout the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to invite you to turn there to the book of Ecclesiastes. Because as we go on this journey with Solomon this morning, there are a lot of things that we can learn from the journey that he made. We can avoid a lot of the mistakes that Solomon made on his own journey. And as we make this quest with Solomon this morning, we need to ask three critical questions. Number one, where did Solomon look? Number two, what did he find? And number three, what was his solution? And if we'll answer those three questions as we make this journey with Solomon this morning, I think we too will come to recognize what life is all about, what fills the void in our life that we're so desperately trying to fulfill. And so consider the first question with me this morning. Where did Solomon look for fulfillment? As Solomon made his journey, where did he turn for fulfillment and for meaning to life? And the reality is that Solomon looks where a lot of our world today looks for fulfillment. The first place he looked was pleasure in possessions. Maybe it's pleasure. If I could live a life full of pleasure, doing whatever I want to do, filling my life with everything that I could ever want, maybe that's the path that brings fulfillment to life. As our society, it seems that we have given into that idea in a lot of ways. We try to find what brings us pleasure. What brings us great joy? If I could just accumulate everything that I've ever wanted, surely that's going to fill the void in my life. And so we empty out bank accounts, we max out credit cards, we get caught up with this idea that I want everything everybody else has. Our neighbor pulls into the driveway with a brand new car, I gotta have it. If I could only have HGTV come to my house and renovate my house, then life would be made. If I could just live a life full of pleasure and possessions, surely that would fulfill my life. Let me ask you this. You ever thought about that? And then you went on and made a purchase as you had that idea in your mind and you instantly regretted making that purchase. You realize that didn't fill me up like I thought it was going to fill me up. It didn't satisfy me. I only want more. I want you to appreciate this morning as we look at Solomon's life. He didn't just wish he could have everything. Solomon had everything. He had it all. He had everything he could have ever wanted, pleasure and possessions. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 with me, starting in verse 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, starting in verse 3. Notice what Solomon says here. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 3, I explored with my mind how to stimulate my body with wine while my mind was guiding me wisely, and how to take hold of folly until I could see what good there is for the sons of men to do under heaven the few years of their lives. I enlarged my works. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards for myself. I made gardens and parks for myself. I planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made ponds of water for myself from which to irrigate a forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves, and I had homeborn slaves. Also, I possessed flocks and herds larger than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. Also, I collected for myself silver and gold and the treasure of kings and provinces. I provided for myself male and female singers and the pleasures of men, many concubines. Then I became great. It increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. All that my eyes desired, I did not refuse them. I did not withhold pleasure, my heart from any pleasure. For my heart was pleased because of all my labor, and this was my reward for all my labor. Solomon didn't just wish that he could have all the pleasure and possessions. He had everything. He had everything our society wants and more. He built houses and parks. He had silver and gold, people to wait on him at all hours of the night. He had every form of entertainment you could think of. He had it all. Let me ask you this morning, is that what made his life meaningful? Did pleasure and possessions ultimately fill the void that he was so desperately trying to fulfill? I want to come back to that question. Consider a second thing with me. The second path that Solomon went down was intellect, wisdom, and knowledge. He thought, if I could just have all the wisdom and knowledge, then my life would have meaning. Do we ever get caught up with that way of thinking sometimes? That maybe the path to fulfillment and meaning in life is just to enroll in a prestigious school and sit down at the feet of scholars who have studied all these important subjects. And if I can just learn all of that and gain all of that wisdom, then life will have meaning. There isn't necessarily anything wrong with wisdom or knowledge. In fact, Solomon tells us in Proverbs 1, that the beginning of wisdom is fearing the Lord. But I think sometimes we as a society buy into this idea that a meaningful life involves sitting at the feet of scholars, accumulating all these books under heaven to find wisdom and knowledge, and that's the path to a meaningful life. And don't you know Solomon had the wisdom more than anybody who had ever lived? Look at Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 16. Solomon says this in Ecclesiastes 1 and 16. He says, I said to myself, behold, I have magnified and increased wisdom more than all who were over Jerusalem before me. And my mind has observed a wealth of wisdom and knowledge. Solomon had the wisdom. He had the intellect. He had the knowledge. Look over at 1 Kings chapter 4 with me for a moment, where we get a brief idea of the kind of wisdom Solomon had. 1 Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. Here in 1 Kings chapter 4, starting in verse 29, we see the kind of wisdom that Solomon had. Chapter 4, verse 29. It says, Now God gave Solomon wisdom and very great discernment and breadth of mind, like the sand that is on the seashore. Solomon's wisdom surpassed the wisdom of all the sons of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all the men, than Ethan the Ezrahite, Heman, Calcol, and Darda, the sons of Mahol, and his fame was known in all the surrounding nations. He also spoke 3,000 proverbs, and songs were 1,005. He spoke of trees, from the cedar that is in Lebanon, even to the hyssop that grows on the wall, and he spoke of animals and birds and creeping things and fish. Men came from all peoples to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all the kings of the earth, all who had heard of his wisdom. I want you to notice that Solomon had the wisdom. People came from all over the world to hear and sit at Solomon's feet just to hear the wisdom that he had. It surpassed the sons of the east. The east was known for their wisdom, the wisdom literature, and yet you could compile everyone in the east and none of it could compare with the wisdom of Solomon. In fact, in 1 Kings chapter 3, we're told of an example where two women come to King Solomon, two women who had just born children. One of the women rolled over on their child and the child died. And so she concocts this plan to switch out her child with a living child. And as this other woman wakes up, she realizes this isn't my child. And so both of these women bring this living child before Solomon and they're arguing saying, this is my child. No, this is my child. And Solomon says, I'll solve the problem. Divide the child and give half to each woman. And the living mother, the woman who is the mother of the child says, No, my Lord, don't divide the child. Just give her over to the other woman. And the other says, Just divide her. Solomon had the wisdom to know how to handle situations like that. That reveals the depth of the wisdom that he had. But did his knowledge and intellect fulfill that void in his life? Did wisdom make life more meaningful for Solomon? We'll come back to that question as well. Consider a third thing with me that Solomon looked for: prestige. Solomon went down the path not only of pleasure and possessions, not only of wisdom and knowledge, but prestige, of status, of fame, of recognition. If I could only be recognized for creating some amazing thing, if I could only be recognized by the world, then maybe life would be more meaningful. And in fact, as you look out in our culture, people have gone to great lengths to make their name known in the world we live in. Has that ever affected you in the way that you live your life? You ever thought, if I could just be the next Steve Jobs and create that newest piece of technology, then life would be more meaningful. If I could be the one to create some kind of solution to the problem of the world's diseases, then life would be more meaningful. Or if people look to me in whatever realm of career that you have, if people look to me as the guru of this job, of finance or business or whatever it may be, if people recognize me for being the leader in my career, then life would be more meaningful. Solomon had fame. People recognized who Solomon was. People knew what he had accomplished. In Ecclesiastes chapter 2, turn over there with me again. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. In verse 9, I want you to notice what is said of Solomon here. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 9 says this, "Then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem, and my wisdom also stood by me." Solomon became great. People knew who he was. In 1 Kings chapter 4, or in verse 31, it says that Solomon's fame was known in all the surrounding nations. People knew who Solomon was. In fact, you remember when Solomon built the temple in Jerusalem? When he built his own palace there in Jerusalem, the Queen of Sheba came because she had heard of Solomon's fame. She came to see how great Solomon was and all the things that he built. She brought gifts of different things to Solomon. They knew who he was. He was recognized. But let me ask you this. Did fame and prestige bring fulfillment to Solomon's life? We'll come back to that as well. And that really brings us to the second question here. What did Solomon find as he made this journey? In every different path. As Solomon looked to pleasure and possessions, as he looked to wisdom, as he looked to prestige, what did he find in that process? Look at chapter 1 with me in verses 12 through 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. This is what Solomon found. "I, the preacher, have been king over Israel in Jerusalem, and I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. And it is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. I have seen all the works which have been done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and striving after wind. What is crooked cannot be straightened, and what is lacking cannot be counted." Look at verse chapter 2 and verse 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 11. "Thus I considered all my activities which my hands had done and the labor which I had exerted, and behold, all was vanity and striving after wind. And there was no profit under the sun." Hold on, Solomon. You mean to tell me that as you go down the path of pleasure and possessions, as you go down the path of wisdom and prestige, you're telling me that all you found was that it is empty and vain? That there's no profit under the sun? That none of those paths make life more meaningful? It was just like trying to grab something that you can never hold on to. It was fleeting. What made you think that way, Solomon? Why do you have such a bleak view of life? What made you say all this? What did you find that left you with this impression of life under the sun? As Solomon made this journey, he found, number one, that death comes to all people. He's had such a bleak view of society as he went down these different paths. He realized that you could accumulate all the wisdom that you want. You could have all the pleasure and possessions in this life. You could have the prestige and fame, and yet the reality is we're all going to die one day. Doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, wise or the fool, the well-known or the famous or the not famous at all. It doesn't matter if you have $1 in your account or $1 million. We will all share the same outcome. You cannot buy your way out of death. You cannot outsmart death, and it doesn't pass over you just because you're famous. Notice chapter 2, verses 12 through 17 with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 12 says, "So I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I know that one fate befalls them both. And I said to myself, as is the fate of the fool, it will also befall me. Why then have I been so extremely wise? And so I said to myself, this too is vanity. For there is no lasting remembrance as of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as the coming days all will be forgotten, and how the wise man and the fool alike die. You know, as you read these words, you can almost hear the desperation in Solomon's voice. If this is going to happen to me, why did I go down that path in the first place? Why have I been so extremely wise? If the reality is that we're all going to die one day, why even pursue these things to begin with? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? That was one of the reasons Solomon had such a bleak picture of life. There's another thing going on here. He realizes that even if he could accumulate everything he wanted, the reality is as he dies, he would lose everything. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 2 with me in verse 18. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 18. Not only did he find death, but he realized that your possessions are going to go to somebody else. Look at verse 18. Then, thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the one who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool, and yet he will have control over all that I have labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore I completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I labored under the sun, when there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and he gives his legacy to the one who has not labored with them. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor, in his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all of his days, his task is painful and grievous. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. Solomon recognizes that even if you had worked all of your life, you had poured out blood, sweat, and tears for everything that you have accumulated, it's just going to go to somebody else. And who knows what they're going to do with it. Can you imagine this scene playing out in life? I mean, you've got a father who has worked tirelessly. He has put in long hours. He has worked hard just so he can give something to his children as they go on. And it just so happens as he gives his possessions to his children, they completely waste everything. They squander all that they've had. All that they've been given. And the reality is, that's what Rehoboam, the son of Solomon, does. As Rehoboam inherits the kingdom from his father Solomon, he does not listen to the counsel of elders, but he listens to the counsel of the young men. And what happens is the kingdom of Israel divides. Later on in 1 Kings 14, Shishak, the king of Egypt, comes and takes all the treasure out of the temple of Jerusalem. Rehoboam squanders everything his father had passed down to him. And so Solomon is struggling with that. Well, if that weren't enough, there's another thing here. Not only do you die and your possessions go to someone else, but ultimately you'll be forgotten. Look at verse 16. For there is no lasting remembrance of the wise man as with the fool, inasmuch as in the coming days all will be forgotten, and how the wise man and the fool die alike. When you read the book of Ecclesiastes, it can be pretty depressing sometimes. But he says, maybe there's a couple generations, your family may remember you, but as time goes on, you're going to be forgotten. The Lord never forgets you, but people will forget you. You can see why Solomon despairs so much of life throughout this book. If you make this quest for fulfillment in life and you're going through all of these passages, and if you're trying to find fulfillment in life under the sun, and you look to pleasure and possessions, if you look to wisdom and all these different things, you come up empty every time. You're only left with this list. And so someone might say, well, what's the point of living life anyways? If this is all that happens under the sun, if this is all that you get, what is the point of life anyways? Sometimes we don't like to think about this fact. But what Solomon is telling us is this is life. This happens to every person. And so that brings us to the third question. What was Solomon's solution? If he had such a bleak picture of life, if this is what he found, what did he do about that? What was his answer to this problem that he found? And really, it's a twofold solution. First of all, he says, enjoy God's blessings. Look at verse 24 and 25 of chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, 24 and 25. There is nothing better for a man than to eat and drink and tell himself that his labor is good. This also I have seen, that it is from the hand of God, for who can eat and who can have enjoyment without him? As Solomon looks back on life, he realizes to enjoy the fruit of your labor. Enjoy the blessings God has given you. Make the most of them. Use it not only for yourself, but use it to help your fellow man. Use it to glorify and magnify your Creator, because He's the one who has given you all these things. But he hints at the second point here, the most important thing. Solomon's solution, number two, was to fear God and serve Him faithfully. You see, as he comes to the very end, Solomon recognizes that the most important thing that you can do with your life is live it to the glory of God. It is the only thing that will bring true fulfillment and meaning to your life, is to serve the God who made you. Serving God and keeping His commandments is the only thing that will fill the void you're so desperately trying to fulfill. Go back to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 with me. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Notice what Solomon says here in chapter 12 and verse 1. It says, remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, of which you will say, I have no delight in them. Can I just stop for a moment and say what an important aspect this is for those of you who are younger here this morning? You are at a very peculiar position in your life this morning. That you have the energy and the strength and the vigor to serve God in the days of your youth. And as you go throughout your life, you're going to be pulled in a lot of ways, in different directions, to find meaning in your job, or find meaning in relationships, or all these different things. And it's going to try to pull you away from the Lord. There's nothing more important that you can do with your life than give your life to your Creator, who bought you and redeemed you with His blood, with the blood of the Lamb. Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11. 1 Kings chapter 11, we're told that Solomon in his old age, his foreign wives turned away his heart from serving God. And when I think about that, I can't help but imagine Solomon is looking to the youth of his day and saying, learn from my example. Don't let anybody take you away from your love for the Lord, but devote yourself to Him. Learn from my mistake. Don't go down the same path that I went down. Serve God in your youth. Because there's going to come a day when you don't have that same energy. And you don't have that same strength. And so serve Him now while you still have the time and opportunity. But regardless if you're young or you're old, Solomon's message is the same. Fear God and serve Him. Look at verse 12 and 13. 13 and 14. The conclusion when all has been heard is fear God and keep His commandments, because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. There is nothing more important than you can do with your life than to serve the God who made you. Pleasure and possessions are fleeting. Wisdom will not last. And fame is fleeting as well. the only thing that matters is whether you serve God or not. And again, there's going to be a lot of things that try to take you away from that in this world. But remember Solomon's conclusion. When all has been said and done, it's to fear God and keep His commandments. Those who fear the Lord and devote their lives to Him have something awaiting them through all of eternity. Serving God is what fills the void in your life, and He is the only one who can do that. There's nothing here under the sun that can provide meaning to your life apart from God. And so you see, Solomon found meaning when he started to look above the sun. When he set his mind on the things above, he realized what really mattered to life. That everything else is fleeting, but one thing matters. And so I ask you this morning, where are you on your journey to find fulfillment? Where are you this morning as you make this quest through life? Maybe you're like Solomon and you feel empty. That you've been looking to everything in the world to try to find some kind of meaning and fulfillment, and you've come up empty every time, and you're just in despair. You're trying to find some kind of purpose in life and meaning and fulfillment, and you keep coming up empty every time. Will you leave that broad path of destruction this morning and come and join the narrow way that leads to life by serving your Creator? If you're here this morning and you need to make your life right with God, if you're ready to serve Him and give your life to Him, won't you come and do that now as we stand and sing the song of invitation? Blessed assurance.